Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 17, 35 to 38. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wine skins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wine skins, and so both are preserved." And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field." This is the word of God. Good morning. I am Veronica. I am also the missions pastor. Today is the final Sunday of Mission Month. Last two Sundays, we heard from Dr. Patrick Fung and Pastor Lawrence Koh sharing their insights in doing missions in the post-COVID world. Our speakers' mission agencies, namely OMF and SCGM, also shared their ministry respectively via Zoom in the past two Sunday afternoons. I was glad to see church members, young and old, took the time to attend these talks. Today, I will wrap up the mission month by sharing what God lay upon my heart, how we should do missions in an unusual time like this, especially in a post-COVID world. Before I begin, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may the Holy Spirit touch us and stir our hearts for your mission. May the word speak forth from your servant's mouth will not return to you empty, but fulfill your purpose in the hearts of your people today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Mission Committee has been organizing Mission Month every year in our church. The purpose is to increase the awareness of God's mission in our midst. The Mission Corp hopes that the church will catch the vision of God's mission through involvement. And this year's theme is missions in an unusual time. Amid COVID, when we observe the safety measures, no overseas travel and whatnot, the way we do mission has also changed. For the past few years, pre-COVID time, we had exciting missions engagements at the school compound. I like a big crowd of people gathered to involve in missions activities, as you can see from the slide. 2018 and 2019 Missions Month were physical engagement. and I feel that it created excitement and encouraged members, old and young, to be involved comfortably. However, since last year, when COVID started, we have moved the missions engagement to an online platform, as you can see on the slide. Now, through online sharing, we heard a deeper sharing by the speakers, even though a small group of church members attended the talk. Nonetheless, moving ahead in post-COVID, the new norm is to have both physical and online missions engagement, which would be ideal for engaging the majority. Now, during one of the missions months, a five-year-old girl came up to me when I was setting up at the school canteen in the morning. She said that she missed Mission Month. My heart was so glad to hear that because a five-year-old girl had caught the vision of God's mission, and she had the desire to know more in a way she understand. Then in another Mission Month, a nine-year-old boy told me that he wanted to go on a mission trip after attending a children missions program. Again, I was amazed by the God's working in our midst. A nine-year-old boy had caught the vision of God's mission, and as a result, he had the desire to be involved in God's mission through a mission trip. From the above, we could see transformation happen in these two children's hearts, their desire to be part of God's mission in the way God had called them. What is God's mission then? Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 say, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Even though the method we do missions amid COVID has changed, we use online and other platforms for missions engagement, but God's mission has not changed. It is still the same. God wants us, the believers and churches, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ from Singapore to the end of the world. Then Jesus Christ will come again. Now, from Singapore to the end of the world is a big harvest field. How could we complete the unfinished work of Jesus Christ? According to the statistic taken from the Joshua Project, there are 238 countries in the world today, and thank God that 4.56 billion people have access to the gospel. However, there are still 3.28 billion people waiting for God's messengers to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to them. These people could be our family members, friends, colleagues, people in Singapore and the world. So where exactly is the mission field? Who are the people who need Jesus Christ? How do we do missions amid the current challenges? Today's sermon primary focus is from Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38, and draw principles from chapter 9. To do missions amid the pandemic and post-COVID, Matthew chapter 9 teaches us to follow Jesus' way of doing mission work. That is, to teach God's word, proclaim the gospel, and heal the broken. This is my first point. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38 says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send up laborers into his harvest.'" This passage tells us that the harvest field is the cities, villages, and everywhere. Those who need Jesus are the people who are struggling and helpless, in need of a shepherd to care for them and help them. It is interesting to note three action verbs in Jesus' mission work. Jesus went about teaching the word, proclaiming the gospel, and healing every sickness. In Matthew chapters 5-7, Jesus taught the Sermon of the Mount to his disciples and the crowd. He was teaching about how they should conduct their relationship with God and his people. Then, from chapter 8 onwards, he shared God's salvation in his ministry with many people besides healing the sick, cast out demons, and others. Healing every sickness here includes healing the person's physical, emotional, and mental illnesses as well. It is a holistic kind of healing. How do we do missions in such an unusual time amid COVID, where suffering has gone before and beyond us? Jesus teaches us through this passage that besides teaching the Bible, share the gospel, we need to learn to minister to the needs of people through healing to bring about the mind and heart transformation. Let us look at Singapore and the world around us. Because of the unexpected attack of COVID last year, many face financial difficulties and debts due to the loss of jobs, businesses, and livelihoods. Many people also face injustice, violence, abuse at home or somewhere in Singapore and in the world. People are hurting, troubled, and helpless. They need a shepherd to guide and help them. COVID-19 deaths had hit 4 million amid the rush to vaccinate. Our world is suffering tremendously and in need of healing from the Lord for their fear, pain, and sorrow. If we were to do missions or going on a future mission trip in a post-COVID world, what would Jesus want us to do? I think Jesus would want us to minister to the local people by praying for them, praying for healing for their fear, pain, and suffering besides the word and gospel ministries. Are there people whom we know, be it in Singapore or overseas, are suffering right now? Who is experiencing emotional or even physical pain? Can we spend time to pray for them in our quiet time with the Lord? If we can, text them, call them, or help them personally. We can even pray with them over the phone. There are different ways to minister healing. One common way we know is to pray for healing for the person. Last year, I attended a course called Arts of the Trauma Healing Process, organized by Wycliffe Singapore. Wycliffe Singapore is a mission organization that specializes in translating the Bible into the heart languages of the nations. Because of the COVID situation, they do mission differently too. It was their first time to introduce such Arts of Trauma Healing Process in Singapore. It is a Bible-based learning method, and it is experiential too. From the course, I learned that we do not adequately process our emotional pain for some time. It becomes a heart wound. This heart wound needs to be dealt with to bring healing to the inner being. Since early this year, the Holy Spirit enables me to use this healing process as part of my pastoral ministry. Thank God for releasing His healing power in these sessions. So how do we do mission work amid COVID, amid suffering? Jesus already showed us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. That is, Jesus wants us to follow Him by teaching God's word, preaching the gospel, and healing the broken. But the heart or spirit of Jesus' mission work is his extraordinary compassion for the people who are harassed and helpless. In those days, the leaders of Israel had not fulfilled their responsibility to guide and protect their people. Because of that, the people experienced hardships and were unable to care for themselves. They suffered under the oppression of the Roman forces, and they had all the daily concerns and difficulties of life beating down on them, just like us. That was why they were harassed and helpless. Jesus saw these crowds and their needs, and he had extraordinary compassion for them. Jesus showed us what he did in chapter 9 to bring about the new challenges and changes to the minds and hearts of the people at that time. These changes and challenges were so magnificent and powerful that people marveled and said that never was anything like this seen in Israel. Jesus' way of doing mission work transformed life deeply and powerfully. It changes the body and soul of the people. So he teaches us to follow his way of doing mission work. That is, to be compassionate towards the people in need. This is my second point. Now let me show you a chart. This chart shows how Jesus demonstrates his compassion through his mission work in chapter 9. Let me go through it briefly by starting from the left column on Jesus' work, point 1. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 13, this passage talks about Jesus calling Matthew a tax collector. We know that the people despised the job of a tax collector at that time, because they collected more at times for their gain. Their extensive extortion make people hated them even more. The sinners in verse 10 are those who do not follow God's teaching. So when Jesus reclined with many tax collectors and sinners, the Pharisees were shocked and despised Jesus even more. But Jesus said in verse 13 that he desires mercy and he came to call the sinners. In other words, Jesus is demonstrating the new norm in mission work. That is, he has compassion towards those who do not know him and need his salvation regardless of their social status, cultural background, and religious traditions. So Jesus is offering us new freedom by breaking down barriers that hinder us from having compassion towards people in need. At this point, let us think, have we become like the Pharisees? Do we have prejudice towards people, foreigners in our midst? Have we despised someone from a different cultural background or social status? Or worse, have we become indifferent or lack compassion towards the people in it around us and in the world? If we had answered yes to any of the above questions, then we need to confess to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness and healing. Let me lead us as a church to confess before the Lord and pray, shall we? Let us close our eyes now. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before your holy throne, we confess that we have prejudice, hate towards people different from us, culturally, socially, and religiously. Because of that, we are indifferent and lack compassion for those who need Jesus and us. Please forgive our sins and heal us by setting us free from this, Lord. In 1 John 1:9, you say that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O God, we thank you for your forgiveness and healing upon us as a church and individuals. Give us compassion like Jesus had for those in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us continue and look at point 2 on the chart. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 to 17, the disciples of John the Baptist asked Jesus why his disciples did not fast like them. So Jesus used two examples of daily life, new garment and new wine, to teach them real spiritual growth does not come from the legalistic outward practice of tradition, but rather following the new way of following Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus is saying that the new norm of becoming his disciples is to follow his new way or practices that will result in inner transformation in lives. Okay, let us think. After going on a mission trip, have we become compassionate towards the local people we met? If the answer is no, then we might have completed the mission trip program without a genuine change in our hearts. Likewise, when we study God's word through the cell group or quiet time, did it change our hearts towards Christ's likeness? If it did not, we need to examine ourselves in this coming week. Let us look at point 3. Demonstrating Jesus' extraordinary compassion towards the people in need. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 26, a ruler brought his daughter who has just died to Jesus. He asked Jesus to heal her, and Jesus did. Now this dead girl received new life. Then a woman with bleeding problem touched the fringe of Jesus' garment, and Jesus healed her. This woman received new health. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 to 31, two blind men followed Jesus and cried for help. Jesus healed them too. They received new sight. Then verses 32 to 34, a demon-possessed man who was mute was brought to Jesus, and the man received a new voice after Jesus cast out the demon from him. All this miraculous healing happened because Jesus had compassion for them. Jesus healed them because they had faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus did all these miracles in God's power. Because of all this, the people marveled and said, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." Indeed, the new norm in Jesus' way of doing mission work is to be compassionate towards the people in need, and God will transform their lives powerfully through our ministry with them. In summary, Jesus wants us to break down our barriers to reach out to those spiritually in need. He wants us to have real spiritual growth by following his way of discipleship. And powerful transformation can happen when we have compassion towards those in need, especially of healing. So how do we do mission work amid COVID, amid suffering? Jesus showed us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. That is, he wants us to follow him by being compassionate towards the people in need. After Jesus saw the crowds and had compassion for them, they were like sheep without a shepherd, he said to his disciples in verse 37, that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send up laborers into his harvest. Jesus' way of doing mission work is to pray earnestly to God to send workers to his mission field. This is my final point. So where is exactly the mission field? The mission field can be our family, our school, our workplace, Ang Mo Kio community, Presbyterian High School, Anderson Primary School, Singapore, and the nations of the world. We may not reach the 3.28 billion people in the 238 countries by human effort, but we can pray intentionally to the Lord to reach them mightily in His ways. When I was on the mission field many years ago, I worked with a group of Tajiks in Tajikistan. I have often heard stories that Jesus appeared in their dreams. Because of that, they believe in Jesus Christ. I believe such occurrences resulted because of prayer. About 2 months ago, I felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to pray for the salvation of the nations in the world after I reflected on one mission lesson. Since then, I started to pray for a few nations each night using the Joshua Project prayer materials before my bedtime. As I prayed daily for the nations, I noticed God lay His burden and compassion for His people upon my heart. For His people were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They need Jesus Christ. Sometimes while I was praying, I started to cry for the nations. I knew that was the work of the Holy Spirit, not of my own. So if we desire to have the burden to pray for pre-believers and those in need, even for missionaries and nations of the world, the best way is to start praying. As we pray, God will give us His compassion for His people in our hearts. Because of that compassion, it will drive us to pray more and more, and very soon, it will become a burden on our hearts for these people. We need to stop giving ourselves excuses that we cannot pray or have no time to pray. If we do not know what to pray, we can get materials to guide us, like the Joshua Project prayer materials, or even using our church prayer list as a start. Every fourth Sunday of the month is our Mission Sunday. We have information and prayer items in the prayer list for the mission work we support, like the Mene Translation Project, Reverend Inget Ministry in Central Thailand, and OMF. Now, we can use our church prayer list to guide us to pray for God's mission work and His people in these places. We can pray to God to send workers to these places too. So let us start praying. And I am confident that the Holy Spirit will transform our lives and the nation powerfully through prayer. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Prayer expresses dependence on God. Is prayer our driving force in our lives, or only when I need it I remember to pray? Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Then verse 12 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. These verses remind us that we are in spiritual warfare and we need to pray at all times in the Holy Spirit. We cannot change the suffering, nations, and environment around us by human effort, but our powerful God can change them if we pray. I want to share a story. In the 18th century, persecution broke out against the Moravians, which forced them to seek refuge in Germany. The wealthy Count Zinzendorf opened his property for their refuge. The Moravians were the earliest Protestant church, rebelling against the authority of Rome some 50 years before Martin Luther. In August 1727, Zinzendorf, along with 12 to 14 others, met to pray until midnight. They were so entrenched in prayer that they ended up praying throughout the entire night. A couple of days later, the Moravians had a communion service where the Holy Spirit came down upon them and set a spark for missions. In 1728, groups of people started meeting together to pray. Even the very first time they met, there was talk of being missionaries in different countries. The Moravians guided their hours of prayer with their life. This movement of prayer lasted for 100 years. Not only did the adults pray for the missionaries, but the children also did. They formed prayer meetings to pray in groups. Hearing the children pray inspired the whole community to get more involved in reaching the lost and earnest prayer. The Moravian community became a launching pad for missions worldwide, for they had sent out 226 missionaries in 10 countries. They supported their missionaries and removed social classes among them. Like the early church, they shared their wealth equally with each other. The Moravians were excellent at learning new languages. When they learned the language, they translated the Bible and hymns into the native language. The Moravian community prayed earnestly and persistently to God to send workers to the harvest for many years, and God answered their prayers. I hope the story of the early church father would inspire us to pray for missions, especially to pray for those who need Jesus Christ and workers for God's mission field. We have heard today that Jesus wants us to follow his way of doing mission work in such a time like this, that is, to teach God's word, proclaim the gospel, and heal the broken. To be compassionate towards the people in need, and to pray to God to send workers to his mission field. May we see what Jesus saw in the crowds and feel Jesus' compassion for them. Jesus knew that to bring them to his kingdom, he needed many workers. Would we be that laborer to go where Jesus called us to go? God's mission field could be our family, school, our workplace, our community, Presbyterian High School, Anderson Primary, Singapore, and the nations in the world. Jesus has given his disciples and us a mission field. Where is yours? If we have a mission field, pray for the people there. Pray for more workers to come. If we do not have one yet, would we ask God for one mission field? God will indeed show us if we pray earnestly to him. God's mission work has not finished yet, but it can be finished by our participation in the work of prayer. Imagine millions of people amid the pandemic who suffer or die without knowing Jesus Christ. Jesus called us to involve in his mission work as his disciples because the need is so great. Would we pray to God to send us, to send me to his mission field? I want us to pause, reflect on these three questions, as you can see from the slide, and listen to God, what is he telling us today? If we feel that God is nudging our hearts to do something, would we respond? If you have answer yes to any of these three questions, will you raise your right hand as a response to God, whether you are at home or in the service right now? And I will pray for you. You can put down your hands and let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the salvation through Jesus Christ. You have called us to complete the work by proclaiming the gospel and praying for missions. Lord, you saw your people who raised their hands to respond to you today. We are thankful for their obedience to your call, Lord. I pray that you will use them mightily as your workers and indicate the specific mission field prepared for them. Enable them with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they will experience a new spiritual transformation from this day forth. Lord, I pray that you will reach out to those who are not ready yet, and you will pursue them to their quiet time for your mission work, your kingdom work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.